Hello everyone, welcome. I'm so glad you are here. Glory to God, for He is good, and His love endureth forever. And He loves you, and He cares for you, and wants you to experience His grace, His mercy, and His power in your life. My name is Pastor Josh Pan, and thank you for planting the seeds of the gospel and saving more souls by sharing this video. Well, and we're here so that people can say yes to Jesus forever. So type in Jesus forever, hit that thumbs up, that like button, let me know you're here, and just welcome to the live stream, my beautiful people. Well, God is good. We have a lot to cover because we are going to get into an exciting part, which is Elijah the prophet coming into the scene after the kings were being evil and failing their kingdom. And so we are going to go into this, and I'm going to give you guys a brief introduction to the whole division of what we're going to cover over the next few days and maybe weeks, okay? So in here, we have King Ahab. He was evil, and he married infamous Jezebel, a domineering and manipulative woman who deliberately sought to eliminate and worship the false idols and eliminate the God, Yahweh, from the northern kingdom. Hello, Salem. Salem Green. EJ's cool. Hello, welcome. Jesus forever. Praise the Lord. Thank you for typing that. Yes.
Yes, yes.
Hannah says, Jesus forever. Glory to God. And so under King Ahab's leadership, the people, they've been engrossed in wickedness, in idolatry, and false worship. So engrossed that they turned away completely from the Lord to worship the false idol, Baal. And they particularly, they worshipped him, which was the god of fertility of that time, which is the false idol. And the idol is a dew and rain of sunshine and light and all the ingredients that cause the crops to grow. And so the lives of men were to be productive and fruitful upon the earth. And in these dark days of the northern kingdom, God sent forth a prophet to prove that the Lord Yahweh is the one true God, not the false god Baal, and is the only God who reigns and reigns forever that we worship today. Amen. And the Lord alone is the only God whom the people should be worshiping and following. The prophet was Elijah. Have you ever heard of Elijah? Elijah was a prophet of the Lord, one of my favorite prophets. And I told the story over and over of his great representation of being one man against 300, 600 false prophets. And God was still on his side. So courageously living and taking the stand for King Ahab and his infamous wife Jezebel. Jezebel tried to kill Elijah. Elijah claimed the name of the Lord as the one true God. And he proclaimed the salvation in the Lord in the midst of a dark and corrupt society. Yeah, welcome. But Elijah, he was not the only prophet to warn and denounce Ahab, his nocturnous wife, Jezebel. No. I feel like he was the one prophet for a long time. But there's also Elisha who came after. But Elijah, he's the main character of it all right now. So, in mercy, hey, check it out. I have a boom mic now and boom stand for my microphone. So, glory to God. I think it looks fine. But if I need to upgrade it or change it, let me know. What do you think? Yes. Manisha, welcome, welcome. So, in mercy, God sent two prophets to issue strong warnings to the king and an unnamed prophet. And that prophet is Micaiah. And it was Micaiah who warned Ahab against attacking Syria and courageously predicted the king's death. And although the message of the prophets would not stop the flood of wickedness, their message did reach some people and slow down the rushing flow of the coming judgment. And eventually, the wicked would face the consequences for their sinful life. idolatry, greed, false worship. And God and His Word would be proven time and time again, never ending. And nevertheless, even though people see that, even though people read that, people continue in their rejection of the Lord and their insane rush to the day when God's patience would no longer tolerate their wickedness. The final day of His judgment is coming, and the first king ends with the death of Ahab and the assumption of his throne by his son Ahaziah. But eventually, the people's wickedness would lead to utter destruction of both northern and southern kingdoms. And so here is where we are going to be touching on from 1 Kings chapter 17, where we first see the prophet Elijah, the Elijah from nowhere, the Elijah from just out of the blue appears in order to serve God and to be a minister to the people of Israel, to turn back to God, to say, there's only one God, Yahweh Himself, and that God is the same God that we serve. And so, let's tap right into it. You're going to be blessed, so you're going to watch to the end, so that you can hear the Word of God speaking and moving in your life. Amen? Glory to God, for He is good. So let me pray first, and we can be blessed. Lord God, You are in charge, and You are God over it all. So Lord, we come before You, we trust You, we follow You, and Lord, speak to us through the Holy Word, and allow us to experience more and more of Your goodness and Your mercy. In Jesus' most holy name, amen, amen. Welcome, Danielle. Welcome, everyone. Glory to God, for He is good. So, we're looking into 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1 to 16. And it says here, you can see I'm reading the Bible. Yeah? Alright, let's see. Right here. Now Elijah, the Tishbite of Tishbe in Galilee, said to Ahab, "As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, whom I serve, there will be neither dew nor rain in the next few years except at my word." There's going to be drought. And then the word of the Lord came to Elijah, "Leave here, turn eastward, and hide in the Kirith ravine east of Jordan, and you will drink of the brook. I have ordered the ravens to feed you there." And so he did what the Lord had told him. And he went to the Kirith ravine east of Jordan and stayed there. And the ravens, they brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. And sometime later, the brook dried up because there was no rain in the land. And then the word of the Lord came to him, "Go at once to Zarephath of Sidon and stay there, and I have commanded a widow in that place to supply you with food." So he went to Zarephath, and then when he came to the town gate, the widow was there gathering sticks, and he called to her, "Would you bring me a little water in a jar so that I may drink?" So as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, "Bring me, please, a piece of bread." "And surely the Lord your God lives," she replied. "I don't have bread, only a handful of flour in a jar, in a little oil jug, and I'm gathering a few sticks to take home to make a meal for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die." And Elijah said to her, "Don't be afraid. Go home and do as you said. But first, make a small cake of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me, and then something for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says, the flour jar shall not be used up, and the jug of oil shall not run dry until the Lord gives rain on the land." And she went away and did as Elijah told her. So there was food every day for Elijah, for the woman and her family. For the jar of flour was not used up, and the jug of oil did not run dry, in keeping the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah. Wow! This is amazing, guys, because we can see how there's famine in the land and how people are starving and how this woman was saying, you know, I'm just collecting some sticks because I have a few flour left and then I'm going to cook for me and my son and that we may eat it, enjoy it, and then we starve to death and we die. But Elijah, he says, don't be afraid. Do not fear. Don't worry. I am the prophet of the Lord. I speak for the Lord. Just go home and do as you said. And first, make a small cake of bread and bake it for me and bring it to me. And then make something for yourself and for your son. And then I tell you that you will not starve to death. For God, our God, the Lord of Israel, will make food for you and provide all your needs. And so, at first, he's starving, the woman's starving, her son's starving, and he came. And what did he do? He supplied the need for this woman and her family, and so that they would not starve to death. This is a wonderful miracle, power of God being displayed within our own eyes. And we can see how God is in control and how God never lets us down. We can praise the Lord that He is supplier of our life. He is the one that gives us what we need when even though we don't see it right in front of us. And so she had to have faith. Did she bake the bread? Well, we can see the next part where I believe later on, we only went to 16, right? And so after this, the son of woman, mistress of the house, became ill, and his illness was so severe that there was no breath in him. And she said to Elijah, what have you against me, O man of God, that you bring me my sin to remembrance and to cause the death of my son? And so that we're going to be touching tomorrow, so I'm really excited. But let's see, there's this man, Elijah. He came out of nowhere. He's nobody. He wasn't ever mentioned before. Not in King Solomon, not in King Rehoboam or King Jeroboam or Asa or King Ahab until now. So King Elijah, Prophet Elijah is going to be the main prophet that we look into as evil King Ahab is reigning. And he's going to be pushing people to turn back to seek the one true God. Amen. So God, he really raises nobody from nowhere to confront Israel's most wicked king. And Tishbe, located on the other side of Jordan River, is a desert off from the grid. And we can see this reflection, guys. Centuries later, John the Baptist, he will also be preaching from the wilderness, and the crowds identified him with Elijah. Even his camel hair cloak and diet of locusts and honey were like of a poor desert dweller, like Elijah would have been accustomed to. But now this poor and obscure man stands in the hall, in the power that declares the Israel king that drought is coming. A daring, dangerous, and a potentially fatal message Elijah delivers. And it's no wonder that God has to hide him in a desert canyon. And it's no wonder that God protected him and raised him up and gave him all the food he needed in order to survive the drought. God really delights in raising up the unlikely to accomplish his purposes and provide for them. So this is our Lord, our God, who is so mighty, who's so powerful, who orchestrates all things. And if you're feeling lost, you're feeling like nobody, hey, you can become a somebody. Somebody. God can make you a somebody. God can bring you out of nowhere, and he can add to you. So we're excited that God is a good God, and he makes nobody into a somebody. He makes a lost into being found. He makes the blind to seeing. He is able to do abundantly, exceedingly above and beyond anything you can ask or even imagine or even think. This is our Lord, our God. And that's why it's so good to be able to look into the Word of God and see how powerful He is, how good He is, and how never-ending His love is for you. Amen. And then next, we can also reflect that there's lessons in humility. Lessons in humility, not living in pride, but instead being humble, knowing that you need the Lord to guide you. You need someone to help you so that you can learn, you can grow. And so for the next 6 months, Elijah, he hides from King Ahab in the desert beside the brook Kereth. But the water in the brook, that was Elijah's source of life. It dries up. So where does he hide now? And surely the prophet is wondering where he should go next. And that is when God leads Elijah to Zarephath in the region of Sidon, the home of Queen Jezebel and the center of Baal worship. And there, a Gentile widow with an orphan child becomes God's provision to take care of this able-bodied Jewish man. How humbling! In such a time, Elijah will pray and God will answer with fire from heaven. But first, this great servant of God must learn a life-changing lesson of humility. He must be able to be willing to go to a non-Jewish person and then to ask for help. If you ask, then you will receive. If you seek, then you will find. If you knock, the door will be opened unto you. You see, if Elijah did not ask, then he would not have received, then he would have starved, then he would have not existed. But he was humble enough to ask for help, and God supplied with a Gentile woman, a non-Jewish woman, to supply his needs. And he must learn that God's timing is often different from yours. God's timing is beyond yours. You. And that's why it's so important to build your life upon His firm foundation, to be humble and ask for help. You have not because you ask not. And that's why it's so important that you ask and you will receive. Amen. Amen. Woo! God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. He never lets us down. That's why we ask Him each and every day. So, looking into 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1 to 20, to 16, we can really learn how God is really still working, even in the midst of an evil ruler, even in the midst of an evil government, even in the midst of a greedy government which is trying to push the people towards the wrong direction. God is still working and still alive, so we can praise Him and worship Him all the days of our life. You see, false worship and idolatry have swept the earth, swept the country, swept the United States of America. They took God out of the school system. They took God out of the government system, capturing the hearts and mind of multiple millions of people. And this is so tragic for the false worship and idolatry exposed in your ignorance and blindness and doom that pushes people to ruin and destruction. And they declare that we should follow something else false, which the government does. They say no more God because they're just trying to take it out. And what's happening to the government? What's happening to the school system? It's imploding in itself. And so that's why we must follow in God and still be a light for Him. Do I answer questions? Yes, I answer questions after my devotion, okay? Almost. So, and they show that they rather follow something else, created by man's imagination, Baal, the golden calf, something that doesn't move, doesn't speak, doesn't listen, doesn't answer, rather than following the one and only true God, our living God. So rejecting the living and one true God has catastrophic result, leaving us to face severe crisis of life all alone. In crisis, it could be sickness, life-threatening disease, crippling, disabling disease, physical handicap or disabilities, severe depression or mental problem, separation, divorce, serious accidents, disasters, a loss of loved ones or a friend, loneliness and rejection, the lack of purpose or meaning of life, bankruptcy or financial difficulties, death, hell, and judgment to come. And that's why it's so, so crucial that we continue walking in the ways of the Lord so that we would experience His holy anointing and His protection that would lead us down the right path, that would protect us from all these evil things that's happening. This is what happens when you follow the Lord our God. Amen. You see, false worship and idol are grossly misleading. They lull a person to a false sense of security, into a reality that really dooms the person to the judgment and the wrath of God. Therefore, no greater danger confronts a person that is chasing after the things of the world, chasing after their greed to satisfy their own pleasure and idolatry. And so, there's two terrible threats in the subject presented in the passage of the scripture. That northern kingdom of Israel, they've become so engrossed in wickedness and idolatry, the false worship, and they've become so engrossed that the people completely turned away from the Lord to worship a false idol, a false security, a false way that doesn't bring them closer to the one true God. And so this is the false God who's thought to be the God of fertility, the God who provides, the God of rain and sunshine and light, and all the ingredients that causes crops to grow, and the hand of man to produce and bear fruit upon this earth. And in these dark days, the northern kingdom, God sent forth a prophet to prove that the Lord is not the false Baal. He was the one and true living God. And so there was a famine and there was a drought in the land. Their God of light, their God of crop and fertility and rain and sunshine and light, their God that they worship did not produce anything for them. And the prophet Elijah, one of the greatest prophets who ever lived that we get to tap into, was the first mentioned in this scripture. He's seen in the shining forth as a light in the midst of the darkness and corrupt society. And the drought was predicted by Elijah and the judgment due to idolatry and false worship. Glory to God. So Elijah, he predicted the drought and famine, proving that the Lord is the one and true living God, not Baal, and falsely thought to be the God of rain. Elijah, he was fed and protected by God, the proof that God alone, not Baal, is provider and protector of His people. And number three, Elijah, he was used by God to raise the widow's son to prove the Lord was alone, not Baal, has the power to sustain life and raise the dead. Because Jesus said, I am the life, I am the resurrection, and so I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So tomorrow we'll be able to tap into where Elijah was used by God to raise the widow's son, a proof that the Lord God alone is God alone, not the false idols. Amen. So, I'm going to get to your question, but then I have to go through this first. So, in the verse 1, we can see how suddenly, dramatically, there was a prophet of the Lord, Elijah. He appears to King Ahab, and Elijah was a righteous king. There, just note that there was false prophets for generations, ever since King Jeroboam to 6 kings, and then now to King Ahab. Generations of false prophets. And he predicted the drought and famine upon the northern kingdom of Israel. And obviously, some years for the Lord, he's been preparing Elijah to prove one truth to all of Israel, that the Lord, Jehovah Yahweh, Jehovah Jireh, is the only one true living God. In fact, Elijah means the Lord Yahweh is my God. Elijah means the Lord Yahweh is my God. And it was God's given mission to proclaim the message, and his name declared, the Lord is God, and he alone. Amen? Is the Lord your God? Is the Lord your King? Is he the one that provides and protects you? Yes, he is. So we give glory and praise to our Lord, our God, because God made everything and made us, and he is our creator, and he never lets us down. So it was Elijah's mission, God-given mission, to proclaim the message that the Lord, that his name declared, the Lord is God, and he is alone is God. And his message was to stand against Baal, the false god, and that most of Israel was now worshiping Elijah Pan. What do you think of that? Elijah Pan. I have a baby boy coming along. Do you like Elijah Pan? Yeah, maybe. Noah Pan. Elijah Pan. Anyways, Elijah. I can say Elijah all day long. Anyways, Baal was thought to be the god of fertility, the god who controlled the rain and dew and the crops and the harvest on the field and gave man strength to work and produce with his hands. We already read the passage. So appearing out of nowhere, Elijah, he abruptly confronted King Ahab to pronounce a terrifying drought upon the land of Israel. And there would be a drought, neither dew nor rain for the next few years would give them rain. With no rain, then you would have no crop, because you need rain in order to feed your plants, feed your crops, and allow the plants to grow. But without water and rain, then the crops would dry up. They would die. And so this was the drought that happened. Of course, he was speaking under the instruction of the Lord, knowing that the power to hold rain back and to restart the rain rested solely on the hand of God himself. But Elijah, he was an instrument through whom God was working, and therefore the drought was to begin at the word of Elijah and at the end of his word some years later. And note that Elijah, he left Ahab just as quickly as he appeared. Just who Elijah was is not known, other than simply stated that he was from Tishbe, which was located in Gilead, the northern section of the East Jordan. And no other known facts are known about the prophet of God who was becoming the greatest prophet who ever served the Lord. So, for years, Elijah apparently been observing the wicked lives of the Israelites and their idolatry and false worship, and they were constant affront and offense thrust in the face of God. And at this point, he became broken before the Lord over this terrible evil of the Israelites, and God moved upon his heart and gave him the mission of proving to the people that the Lord himself was the only one true and living God. Who is your one and true living God? It was God, our same God that we serve, same God that we love. So armed with the mission of God and the promise of God's presence, Elijah, he marched to the capital of Samaria to confront the evil king Ahab. Abruptly, dramatically, he burst into the royal courts, standing face to face with Ahab, and he declared the message of God, that the Lord God of Israel, he lives. And because he lives, there will be neither dew nor rain for several years to come. And God had previously predicted that the land would suffer drought and famine if the people rejected him and turned to idolatry and false worship. And through the drought, the Lord would prove that he, not Baal, was the one true God. And he alone controlled the rain and the fruitfulness of the earth. Wow, our God is the one true God, preaching, teaching, and loving us. Amen. Glory to God. So that's why we know that he never lets us down, and that he is Lord over all. And so we are just giving him praise and saying, you are our God. You are the same God of Elijah, the same God who set them free, the same God who gave him power and strength to preach the name of Jesus. Well, not the name of Jesus, but the name of Yahweh. Amen. So what can you learn from this? What can you learn from this? If the drought and famine prophesied by Elijah actually took place, this is a strong evidence that the Lord is the one and only true God. As seen in the following scripture, a severe drought and famine did take place. And the Lord Jehovah Jireh is the one and only true God, creator and sustainer of the universe, and he alone controls the weather. God controls the weather. And nowadays, people are trying to do cloud seeding. And what should that cloud seeding do? You can see where they seed the clouds so that it would rain, where it normally doesn't rain. Such as, I believe, in, where's that place? Dubai. There was a huge flood because they were doing cloud seeding. And that flood flooded the whole place with a huge wind and huge, rain, where the flood just like pushed cars out of the streets and destroyed a bunch of property. So, in the end, human wants to control what God can control. Human wants to say, hey, I can control the weather, not only the creator, God himself. But here, in this place, this really proves that Jehovah Jireh, he alone provides, and he alone protects, and he alone controls the weather. Amen. So, in fact, he controls all the laws, govern the very existence of universe. And throughout the whole universe, visible and invisible, the physical or spiritual, God is the God over all. And he loves you so much. And he cares for you too. So, the lesson is, no matter how much you deny or question God's existence, or exalt yourself in science as the ultimate reality of the universe, God does exist. He will exist regardless of what you say, regardless of what you think. He exists because he's the creator of all things. The Lord Jehovah Yahweh is the only living and one true God. And we are to work of his hand. We are the works of his hand. We are his creation. And we are to worship our creator. Denying God's existence does not void God, does not make him cease to exist. The truth is the truth, and God is the truth, and the truth will set you free. And as the truth, he is living long and longing for all of us to join him after our sojourn or our journey upon this earth. One of the greatest proclamation of the Holy Bible is the truth, one truth, that the Lord is the one and only true God, the creator and sustainer of the universe. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. So, Jesus, he held his peace. In Matthew chapter 26, verse 63 to 64, the high priest answered and said, I adjure thee by the living God, and thou tell us whether thou be Christ, the Son of God. And Jesus said to him, and thou hast said, nevertheless, I say unto you, here shall you see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power and coming in the clouds of heaven. Wow. It says, Jesus kept silent, and the high priests were questioning him. I adjure you by the living God. You tell us whether you are Christ, the Son of God. And Jesus said to him, you have said it yourself. Nevertheless, I tell you, hereby after you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven. Jesus, he's saying he's the Son of God. He's saying that he is God himself. And he's saying that you will one day see me sitting at the right hand of God Almighty and coming down on the clouds of heaven. Clouds of heaven. You see, this is what we all look forward to. Urgency to see God come back and return with his second coming, where he comes on clouds, and he comes in with his army of angels, where he gathers all the believers, and one day, we're going to be in his presence, in a better place. Amen. Amen. Acts chapter 14, verse 15, it says, "And saying, sirs, why do you do these things? We are also men of the same nature as you, preaching the gospel to you so that you can turn from these vain things to the living God, who made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in there." Wow. We're just human. We're just like you. But we're here to preach unto you that you should turn from these vanities into and unto the living God who created what? The heavens and the earth, the sea and all the things that are within. The birds, the fishes, the sharks, the dogs, the cats. He created all living things and he created you and me. In Genesis chapter 1 verse 1 says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." Amen? So, he's creator of all things. And he created us to glorify him, to have a relationship with him. But too many people do not glorify God anymore. Too many people are living by their own standards, by the worldly standards, which really do not match up to God's standards. And so too many people are missing out on what God is teaching and God is showing them. And that's why it's so important to set our eyes on things above and not on earthly things. To set our eyes upon Jesus, who is our Savior, our Lord, who never lets us down. Amen. Sosa. Praise the Lord. Hello, Luke. In Acts chapter, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9 to 10. "For they themselves reported about us." They themselves reported about us. Man, I lost it. Oh boy. I lost the verse, guys. But God is good. And if you would, you type Jesus forever. Because we are putting Jesus first forever in our life. Letting him be the King and the glory and the God that we serve. Amen. Amen. So you're not here by accident. You're here because the Word of God has come to you through this live stream, through this application, and through his love and his mercy and his grace. So, glory to God, for he is good. And we have so much more, because you're going to want to stick to the end, because we know that God is going to speak to you, and he's saying, "I'm your God. I'm the Lord your God. Come back into my presence, and come back so that I may give you rest. I may give you everything that you need. Because I'm the one and true living God. No other things, no other gods in this world that you try to conjure and create can replace our one and true living God." Amen. He's the one that delivers us from the wrath to come. He's the one that set us free. And so we praise God. We enter into his presence. And we turn to God from the idols that you serve to the living and true God. Amen. And then, there's still more, guys. That's why, wow, I can just keep going. But to save some time, I will move on to the second part after maybe reading two more verses. It says, Revelation chapter 1, verse 8, "I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and end, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty." This Revelation chapter 1 verse 8. "I am the Alpha and Omega, saith the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty." Have you ever heard that song? "Who was and who is and who is to come." He is to come. He's coming. He is coming again. Jesus is returning. He's coming again. And so we praise him all the days of our life. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He formed man from the dust of the ground. He breathed into the nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living soul. And we lift our hands to heaven and say, I will live for Christ alone, for God alone, because He is the one that reigns above it all. And then the eternal God, He is my refuge. He is my strength. And underneath are the everlasting arms, and He will thrust our enemies out from before us and shall say, destroy them. So the Lord our God, He made the heavens of the heavens, and with their host and the earth and all things therein, the seas and everything therein, and He preserves them all. The host of heavens is worshipped. Praise the Lord. The Spirit of God has made me, and breath of God has given me life. Amen. He is El Shaddai, the God more than enough. He is Almighty God. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. So, my soul, it thirsts for God, for the living God, not for the false God. And when shall I come and appear before God? Amen. Glory to God. In Malachi chapter 2, verse 10, it says, do we not have one Father, the Heavenly Father, have not one God who created us? Why do we deal treacherously against His brothers so as to profane the covenant of our fathers? The covenant, the promises of God, the covenant that God has for you, it's for you, guys. And it's a gift for you. And you have to receive that gift. You cannot keep on rejecting Him and say, hey, Jesus ain't real. God ain't real. I don't need nobody. I got everything I need. No, you can't be saying that. That's coming from a perspective of pride. A perspective of just saying, I'm a self-made man, self-made woman. I don't need nothing. I got everything I need. But that's only looking at the physical, looking at the present, looking at what is seen. But what is unseen is your soul, and your soul lives forever. Your soul needs care, soul care, and your soul needs prayer, and your soul needs God in your life. Your soul will live on beyond this life. Your soul will be determined where it goes for eternity in this little short time of your life. 100 years on earth will determine where you end up for eternity. And that's why it's so important that you will lean not on your own understanding, but on His truth, on His love, on His grace, on His mercy. Live accordingly to His righteousness, not according to the evil man and woman, not according to the world and the devil. No, you have to live accordingly to the Word of God. The Word of God is a tool for you. The Word of God is to build you up, the believers up, the church up. The Word of God is to move you towards the right direction. Amen. Glory to God. And next we can talk about, this next part is so beautiful, how God is our provision. He's our source. He's our protector. And the proof of this is found in this passage in 1 Kings chapter 1, verse 16. You see, Elijah, he was miraculously fed and protected by God during the years of drought and famine. He could have starved to death. He could have been all alone and not even have anything to eat, anything to drink. And he could have dried up and withered away, but he did not. Instead, he was actually empowered by God. And apparently, while Ahab was in a state of shock from the appearance and pronouncement of a rugged prophet, Elijah, he abruptly walked out before he can even be arrested. Either immediately or soon after, the Lord instructed Elijah to flee from the king in a case that Ahab sought retaliation or revenge, in particular after the drought began. Moreover, the prophet needed to be out of Ahab's reach, for the king would put a pressure upon Elijah to stop the drought. So, as we read through this passage, we saw that Elijah, he was fed and protected by God, that he was protected from the evil one, from the evil king, from King Ahab. And that's why we can rely on our God and know that he will protect you, that he will build you up, and that he will lead you towards the right direction, even when it doesn't make sense, even when things are going so wrong in your circumstance, in your city, in your place. God is able to help you as well. So God, he instructed Ahab. Now, he wanted Ahab to repent, to turn back to the one true God, one true king. But Ahab refused. And so God instructed Elijah to hide out in the Kirith Ravine, which is east of the Jordan River. And evidently, this was one of the narrow gorges that had a brook running through it, which Elijah would have plentiful supply of water. Amen? Because God supplies. In addition, the hideout would give Elijah seclusion and safety from Ahab's fanatic search for him. And note that God's wonderful promise of supernatural provision, he had personally ordered the ravens to provide food for his dear servant, bread and meat. And in obedience, Elijah did just like what God has instructed. And God provided for his dear servant in the wilderness. Elijah, he witnessed the power of God as the ravens brought him bread and meat twice a day in the morning and evening. And he drank fresh water from the flowing brook. And despite being all alone, being hunted down by the king, Elijah's needs were being met by the Lord himself. And God's dear servant was being protected and provided for day by day. However, God's provision was not only supplied in the wilderness, but also through the city, through the help of the widow, the Gentile woman. And eventually, the brook dried up, and the Lord instructed Elijah to go and stay in the city of Zarephath near Sidon, where he would meet this widow woman, whom the Lord already instructed to supply food for him. Immediately, Elijah obeyed the Lord and made this trip. And when he entered the city gate, he saw the widow collecting and gathering sticks. And Elijah decided to test the woman to see if this woman, widow, was appointed by God. And he asked her for a drink of water. And as she was going to get the water, he called out and asked her to please bring him a piece of bread as well, because he must have been so hungry and thirsty. And turning back towards Elijah, the widow responded by sharing a desperate situation. She shared that she was strictly in poverty, with no food whatsoever, with little flour and oil. In fact, she's been gathering sticks to cook her last meal, expecting to starve to death along with her son after they eaten the small meal. In hearing this desperate plight and plea of the widow, Elijah challenged her to trust in the Lord for provision. And he told her to go home and bake bread, but to give him the first part, so she could then make bread for herself and her son. For the Lord would replenish the flour and oil miraculously, and he would provide for all three of them until it rained. Wow, there was drought, and there was no food among the land. But if she was tested to follow God or not, to follow the prophet or not. And note, this was a promise based on the authority of God's word, for Elijah declared that this is what God himself has promised. Would the widow then believe in the word of the Lord? Do you believe in the word of the Lord when he makes a promise? Do you believe it? Would she make bread, first of all, for Elijah? Or would she make it just for her family, for her son, for herself? The widow, after all, he did believe the promise, and she obeyed the prophet of God, doing exactly what Elijah instructed her to do. And as a result, was astounding, woo, glory to God, the Lord miraculously, he provided food every day for the woman and her family, and of course, for Elijah the prophet, and the flour and the oil never ran dry, just as the Lord had promised through his faithful prophet. Amen. Glory to God. God is provider. God is the one that supplies all my needs. He is Jehovah Jireh. He is the one that gives you everything that you need. Amen. You're not alone. You're not alone. Glory to God. Amen. So what can you learn from this, guys? Two of the greatest promises of God in the Word of God really concerns His provision and His protection. God protects and provides for His dear people. And there's the condition. Here's the one condition, guys, that you must trust and obey God's Word as the widow trusted and obeyed God's Word. So we too must trust and obey God's Word. We too must walk in His ways and obey and trust that God is working, even when we don't see it, even when we don't feel it, even when we don't know exactly what's going to happen. And when we trust and obey Him, He will add to you. When you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, He will add unto you. I pray for your dog in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay? And if we truly believe that the Lord and His promise is true, that He will supply all your every need, no genuine believers will have His needs unmet, nor lack the necessities of life. You will have abundantly more than you need and imagine. Amen? But you must trust the Lord your God. You must walk in His ways. Not unless the Lord is using the experience to strengthen the believer or to take him on home to heaven with Him. So, if you seek the Lord and His righteousness first, He promises to provide food, clothing, shelter, and for His dear people, for you. He promises to protect you through all trials and difficulties of life, and through all hardships and misfortunes and temptations and seductions. Note that His protection is not from the hardship or trials, but through them. His protection is not from the fire, not from the storm, but through them. So, as you go through the fire, through the storm, through the hardship, He is there with you. He is there protecting you. He is there walking with you. You're never alone. Despite the fact that you lose a loved one, you lose a princess, you lose someone you love. And so, that's why God is with you right now. Right now, He is with you as you are suffering, as you are going through tough times. And He is saying, don't give up. I'm with you. I'm the Lord your God. And I will build you up with my love, with my grace. Amen, Aubrey? Aubrey, praise the Lord. That's why we need Jesus in our life, Daniel. We need more of God. And as believers, we will endure most of the same misfortunes and temptations as other unbelievers, and even some that unbelievers will not experience. But God is with you every step of the way. He will hold your hand. He will hold you up. And He will even carry you when needed. And this is the clear promise of God's holy word. Amen. Amen. God promises to provide for His dear people, supplying all of your needs, all that you need, and meeting what you need. Amen. So, I know you miss her. And God knows you miss her. And it's great that you have these feelings too. You truly do. And what you got to do is pray to God. Turn to God. Allow Him to comfort you. God also promised to protect His dear people, delivering them from trials and temptations, to bring you out of the storms, and to help you grow. So God will deliver you. God will help you. God will bring you out of the darkness into His light. God will bring you out of destruction into His peace, into His prosperity, into His goodness, and His mercy. Amen. So let's go through some verses. As we love to go into the Word of God, we love to hear that God supplies all of our need. He said, Matthew chapter 6, verse 11 says, "Give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread." In Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. He will give you provision of clothing, of food, of everything that you need." Amen. And that's why we seek first the kingdom of God. Are you seeking God first? Are you seeking God first? That's why we say Jesus first forever. Jesus first forever. And his righteousness and his goodness. Because he will add all unto you. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 8 says, "God is able to make all grace, supplies and provision abound towards you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound in every good work." You may abound, you may grow, you may thrive and prosper through every good work that you do to serve the Lord our God. Amen. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, it says, "But God shall supply all of your need, not just some of your needs, but supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory by Jesus Christ." Amen. Glory to God. He will supply all your needs. What you need, he will supply according to his riches in glory. God is rich in glory. God has all the glory already. He doesn't need any glory from you. But he's willing to supply all your needs according to his riches. And he's God who is more than enough. He's provider. He's the one that has infinite wisdom, infinite wealth, infinite power. That's the same God that we serve. And that's why we want to stay connected to God. If you need a who in your life, a someone in your life, that who is God himself. You have to put him first. And then he will add all unto you. Because if you do not put the who first, put God first in your life, then you will experience trauma. You will experience loss. You will feel emptiness, a void in your heart. Because the only who can satisfy your heart and give you everything you need is our God himself. And when you allow him into your life, then you will allow him to transform you, build you up, lead you, grow you, and allow you to produce the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness. He will give you so much more. Self-control. These are things and fruits that God gives you. And as you continue through life, you can see that these fruits are desirable in life. That people are looking for it. That people are looking for it in their money, in their resources, in their things, in the world. And they are not ultimately satisfied, because the only one who can satisfy for eternity is our Lord, our God himself. Everything else, everything you can see, it's temporary. And so, that's why it's so important that you turn your heart back to God today. Just like the prophet Elijah is telling King Ahab to do. To turn his heart back to God, to allow God to transform his life. Allow God to build his life up. And to turn his eyes toward Jesus, toward Yahweh, towards God, toward Jehovah Jireh, towards El Shaddai, the one true God, the Almighty God. Amen. Amen. God is working. Exodus chapter 23, verse 25, it says, "And you shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless you with bread, with water, and he will take sickness away from the midst of you." Oh, wow. Sickness and disease are something that people struggle with in this world. But when you serve the Lord your God, he will bless you with bread and with water. And he will take away sickness away from you. Isn't that great? So marvelous God who takes it all away. So that you can be healthy. So that you can be strong. So that you can do things and serve the Lord our God with all your heart, soul, and mind and strength. So that you can walk into his ways. Amen. So, another powerful passage Very powerful. Psalm chapter 23, verse 1 to 6. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. I shall not lack, because he makes me lie down by green pastures, and he leads me beside water, and he restores my soul, and he leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake, to glorify him. And yes, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art God is with me, and your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, and you anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflow, it runneth over. It's not half full, it's not 10% full, it's not just full, but it's overflowing cup. And surely the mercy of God shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. Glory to God. We will dwell in the house of the Lord, the house of the Lord in heaven, and there will be no more sorrow, no more pain. Glory to God. Psalm chapter 28. Verse 7, the Lord is my strength, my shield, and my heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices, and with a song I will praise him. Give him praise for everything. Woo! I will sing praise to the Lord God Almighty, for he is good. Psalm chapter 40, verse 17, but I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinks upon me, and you help me, and you are my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God. Make no delay, for you are my help, my deliverer. Amen. Psalm chapter 68, verse 19 says, blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits. Benefits, wow. Who daily carries our burdens, even the God our salvation. Selah, the God who is our salvation. Who is the one that sets us free from the bondage of sin, sets us free from the bondage of hell, sets us free from ruin and destruction. We are free and alive indeed in the Lord our God. Amen. And that's why we praise the Lord. Blessed be the Lord our God, who daily loads us with benefits. He loads you with benefits, benefits of health, benefits of wisdom, benefits of power. This is our God. Amen. Praise the Lord. God is good. I'm in your face here today, by God's grace, to just praise the Lord and to glorify him and to lead my brothers and sisters in Christ to a closer relationship with God. In Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10, it says, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed or be anxious, for I am your Lord, your God, and I will strengthen you. And surely I will help you, and surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Wow, we can see how God provides for his dear people, for believers, for those who follow him and walk after him. And supplying and meeting every single one of their needs. Amen. Glory to God. Next, we can see how God promises to protect his dear people. He promised to protect you. Promises to deliver you from all trials and temptations. And so, Luke chapter 21 verse 18 says, but there shall not a hair of your head perish, yet not a hair of your head will perish. John chapter 17 verse 11 says, I am no longer of this world, and yet they themselves are in this world. I come to you, Holy Father, keep them in your name, and the name which you have given me, that you may be one even as we are. Wow. Whew, God is good, eh? Do you like this, Janeth? Do you like it? Glory to God. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. No temptation has overcome you, but as common to man, God is faithful. God is faithful, and he will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But the temptation will provide a way of escape. He will provide a way of escape for you so that you will be able to endure it and you may be able to continue forward. Amen. You think in China, they would allow, someone said, is this from South Korea or China? Well, let me tell you, in China, Christianity is banned. You may not be able to stream or live stream or talk or read the Word of God. The live stream would immediately be banned and you would be given a credit score that's lower and lower. So what do you think this is from China? I'm in California. I'm in Santa Clara, Bay Area, Silicon Valley, the land of innovation. I'm in a place where it's so liberal, there's only 10% of people who are loving God and going to church and being built up in Jesus' name. So this is the mission field where I'm placed. And I'm also online where I would say there's even a bigger population where people don't know about him. But we're not to talk about that. We're to talk about how God is working even when King Ahab and his kingdom was completely turned away from God, yet he still raises a righteous man, and that one righteous man will be a messenger of God. I feel like Elijah. Feel like I'm carrying the word of God out to this live stream, out to this world, out on this online system, just being faithful. And so by the grace of God, may you be blessed. May you be blessed with the word of God and be allowed, allow him to resonate in your heart, to build you up, to lead you, to guide you, to encourage you, and to help you through the tough, tough times. You see, if you're going through temptations, trials, tough times, then God knows. And you just got to tap into his power, his protection, and his provision. Amen. Glory to God. Hello, May. What's up, brother? What's up, May? Glory to God. And Isosa. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8 to 10. And it says, for we do not want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, of our affliction, which has come to us in Asia, that we were burdened excessively beyond our strength, so that we despaired even of life. So they gave up everything. This is Paul writing that. And that indeed we have the sentence of death within ourselves, so that we would not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a peril of death, that and would deliver us, and he on whom we set our hope, and he will yet deliver us. Amen. Glory to God. You see, God is working. And here, Paul is writing and saying, our burden is on Asia, on China, on India, on all over Southeast Asia, Malaysia, Singapore, Thailand, Taiwan, South Korea, even North Korea. The burden is there. And so, what Paul is doing is saying, you know, I'm dying to myself, to my own desires. And I'm made alive in Christ, who raised me into his presence, into his will, into his purpose, and allows me to grow in him so that I may be his mouthpiece, so that I may be his ambassador, so that I may be his messenger to deliver his word, his truth, his power unto you, unto others, unto the lost, and unto those who have not heard of the gospel, of the good news of Jesus, our Lord, our Savior. You're from Bangladesh. From Bangladesh. God cares for each and every one of you guys. Amen. So, it's a wonder. It's a wonderful thing that this live stream is going to Africa, to South America, to Europe, to Bangladesh, Taiwan, to all over the world. And it's being preserved. So that's why we give glory to God. Right, big little sis? Yes. Amen. Sister, glory to God. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. It says, for these reasons, I also suffer these things, but I am not ashamed Are you ashamed? I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I believe, and I am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. Wow. Even though I'm suffering, even though I'm getting persecuted, even though people are trying to push me down, I am not ashamed because I do not live in shame. I live in victory. I live in his glory. I live in breakthrough. I live upon his love, his glory, his goodness, his mercy. I live a life that is meeting the needs of people. I don't have needs. I meet needs. I don't need breakthrough. I have breakthrough because God is my breakthrough. Because God supplies all my needs. So now you as Christians, when you walk in his ways, you live in his victory. You live from victory to victory, not victory to defeat. You live from glory to glory, not glory to shame. You no longer are held down by the things of the world. Instead, you live in the freedom of his glory, of his goodness, and you go from breakthrough to breakthrough, strength to strength, mountain to mountain. Every season in your life, God is working upon your life and building you up and leading you and giving you everything that you need. Even though you suffer, nevertheless, you're not ashamed, for you believe and you're persuaded that God is able to keep what we commit to him to this day and to the very end. He forever is faithful. He forever is the one that builds us up and leads us and gives us everything that we need. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 18. And the Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and will bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom, and to be him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Wow. Don't you want to be delivered from the evil works? Don't you want to be delivered from the trials and temptation? Don't you want to grow and overcome and be preserved until his kingdom comes? His kingdom is his presence, and his presence is in you. So if he is in you, then his kingdom is in you. And his Holy Spirit is in you. And it empowers you. It grows you. And it gives you more than enough. And that is the power in which we have in us, in Christ. And so we can glorify him every single day. And say, to whom be the glory forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Amen. Ha ha. Glory to God. We can give him thanks forever. Because, and have a heart of gratitude and see things from his lens, because he's provided everything we need. He's delivered me from isolation, from addiction, from substances, from all these things. He delivered me, and he can deliver you too if you're going through something. Or if he has not done so, he will do so. And you must walk in his ways, read the word of God every day, commit to him, praying to him, talking with him, letting him guide you, and saying, Lord, I commit my life to you. There's no one like you. And so, I give you all glory, all honor in my life. Let me be part of building your kingdom. Let me be part of glorifying you. Let me be part of your story, your mission, so that you may be glorified, so that we may save the lost, save more souls, and preach Jesus' name to the very ends of the earth, teaching what Jesus has done on that cross, dying on the cross, being buried, and raising again, defeating sin and death. This is what Jesus did, and that's why we walk in his ways, and that's why we give him our life and glorify him because of what he's done, giving us salvation, the gift of peace, the gift of love, the gift of hope. These are things that you must accept. You must accept it today. You must be equipped with this knowledge, this wisdom that God has granted unto you, so that you may walk each and every step of your way for him and not for yourself. For God has delivered you from every evil work. It has no hold on you in Jesus' name. Amen. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 to 17. Therefore, since the children share in the flesh and blood, he himself likewise also took part of the same, and through death he might render powerless him who had the power of death, and that is the devil. He rendered powerless him who had the power of death, and that is the devil, and might free those who, through fear of death, were subject to slavery all their lives. Wow. He took the keys away from the devil. He took away the power of the devil, the power of death from the devil. Wow. Let that sink in. Jesus, he came from heaven to earth so that you may go from earth to heaven. The Great Commission. So that you may have a relationship with him. So that you may not fear death. So that death would not be the end of your life. So that you may know that you're going to end up. Death is the beginning of a relationship in his heavenly presence. In his goodness. Death is the beginning. And that's why we continue praising the Lord all the days of our life. Amen. Amen. Hebrews chapter 13 verse 6 says, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I shall not fear. I shall not be afraid what man shall do unto me. They may try to strip everything away from me, but I'm not afraid because the Lord is my helper. The Lord is more powerful, and the Lord is the one that continues to uphold me, to give me strength, and to give me the ability to overcome all things that are against me. All things that are trying to press me. No, we are free in the name of Jesus. These things have no hold on me. We live in victory to victory, from breakthrough to breakthrough, from glory to glory, from strength to strength. We live in the name of Jesus, for him and him alone. And that's why we don't let anything else bring us down, because only God is in our life, who builds us up, who protects us, who provides for us. He is our protector, and he's given us more than enough, more than enough. And he has a good gift for you. So today's the day to accept him as your Lord and Savior. Amen. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 says, then the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from temptation and to keep the unrighteous under punishment for the day of judgment. He knows how to deliver you. You can choose to live a godly life today and tomorrow. In all the days of your life. And what will he do for you? He will deliver you out of temptation. He will deliver you out of temptation of chasing the things of the world, of chasing money, of chasing girls, of chasing guys, of chasing pleasure, of chasing addiction, of chasing the things that are pointless. He will deliver you. He will help you. He will guide you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. In Genesis chapter 28 verse 15 says, behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and bring you back to this land. For I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. He's talking to who? Abraham. And he's saying, and you will keep all these places in the future. And I will give it to you, the promised land. For I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. I will not give you up. But I will keep my promise to you. Do you know what the promise of God is? There's a new covenant in the blood of Christ. A new covenant by which we live, by which we stand upon. We Gentiles, non-Jews, we are now entered into the covenant of God by the blood of Christ, because of what Jesus did on the cross. Now we are saved, now we are covered by his blood, and made whole, made righteous, and made into a new creation. For you are now a new creation. The old has gone, and the new has come. And so you can worship God as you are, and lean not on your own understanding, but his promises and his goodness, for he has good promises for you. Amen. Glory to God. For 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 2, I like this one. And he said, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. He is my rock, my foundation, my fortress, my cornerstone, my deliverer. He's my refuge. He's my strength. He is my breakthrough. And he's the one that I carry every single day of my life. I love it. I love it. And then Psalm chapter 34, verse 7. And the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, those who love him, those who follow him. And also, he delivers them. He rescues them. He saves them from what? From the evil one. From darkness. From pain. He saves you. That's our God. The angel of the Lord. The angel of God is around you. It's with you. Behind you. Before you. Ahead of you. The angel of the Lord is fighting for you. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. There's so much, guys. Psalm chapter 125. I love it. Chapter 2. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is around his people from the fourth and forever. So the Lord surrounds his people from this time forth and forever. God is timeless. God is with you today, yesterday, and tomorrow, and every day of your life. He is surrounding you. He's protecting you. Amen. Glory to God. Isaiah chapter 46, verse 4. Even to your old age, I am he. Even to gray hairs, I will carry you. I have made you. I will bear you. And even I will carry you and deliver you. Wow, even when you get old, I will be the same. And even to the grain of your hairs, I will carry you, deliver you, protect you, lead you. I have done it. I have done it already before. And I will not stop now. Glory to God. So, note that God is our deliverer, protector, and he's a God who never lets us down. And we praise God for his prophet, Elijah, for delivering us a powerful message of his protection, provision, and his power. And everything that we need is found in the Lord. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful, wonderful day. We thank you for that you never let us down. And thank you that you are all-powerful, all-knowing, and you are the God who provides all of our needs. Lord God, I pray that your mighty hand would be upon each and every one of my brothers and sisters in Christ here, that everyone under the sound of my voice may receive your protection. That same protection that you had upon Elijah, be upon my brothers and sisters. That same provision you have for Elijah, be upon my brothers and sisters. May you protect them, provide for them, give them power to overcome these temptations, and allow them to continue growing in you as they grow in wisdom, understanding, knowledge, discernment, as they continue growing as a whole person, physically, relationally, spiritually, in all aspects of their life. In Jesus' name, we love you, God. Lord God, we also pray for all those who want to give your life to Christ. Today is the day you give your life to Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior. Today is the day you say yes to him. Not tomorrow, for you do not know what tomorrow holds. You do not know whether there's going to be an accident or God coming down. Today, you do not know. You do not want to miss it out. So if you want to give your life to God, pray this with me. Lord God, I come before you. I believe that you died and rose again, and that you conquered sin and death, and by your grace I am saved. So Lord God, come into my heart, forgive me of my sins, cover me with your blood, and lead me and grow me, allow me to grow stronger in you, Lord God. Lord, there is no one like you, so I choose to follow you all the days of my life, and I commit to you, dedicate my life to you, to walking in your ways. Use me, O Lord, to build your kingdom. Use me to reach the lost, and also use me as I long to read the word of God, to read who you are. God, you are so good. You are so, so good. So we praise you all the days of our life. We love you in Jesus' most holy name. Everyone says, amen. Glory to God, for he is good. So, if you have any questions, any prayer requests, let me know, and I will respond as I go through the last part of application questions, which you can answer as well. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Ooh, application questions. So today we have four application questions. Number one, why does God often choose the most unlikely people to use as his servant in his kingdom? Why? A soldier says, Amen, glory to God. Danielle says, Amen, Amen, praise the Lord. Why does God often choose the most unlikely people to use as his servants in his kingdom? Unlikely people like the fishermen, like Peter, like the Matthew, like Mark, like Paul, who was Saul before. Why does he use unlikely people? Well, because he's able. Because they're humble. Because they're walking in his ways. Right? Yeah. I'm an unlikely person too. Because growing up, I did not talk very much. I was shy. I was just very... It's this like testimony time, right? I was even made fun of my speech. And also my teachers even said, Is he mute? Can he talk? And my dad would be like, yeah, he can. So, unlikely people, God is here for you. God is here for the broken. He's not here for the healthy. He's here for the sick. He's here for you. Amen. He's here for the hurting. And he wants to rescue you, lead you, guide you. Amen. Number two. What does God's choice of the nobodies in the world say about his grace and his ways? You see, God's truth about nobodies in the world, he can transform nobody to become somebody. Nobody becomes somebody. A lot of people are nobodies. A lot of people have no influence. But by the grace of God, when you follow in his ways, you can become a somebody. Because Jesus is that somebody. He's the greatest somebody in the world. And when you follow the greatest somebody in the world, you become a somebody. You become relevant. You become someone who really matters. But if you do not follow in that somebody's, in Jesus' ways, then you're always going to be feeling like you're lacking. You're going to feel like there's going to be a hole in your life. You're not going to be able to feel that there is just a fulfilling life. A purpose, because ultimately our life here on earth determines where you end up for eternity. And that's why today's the day that you walk in his ways. Today's the day that you build your life upon his firm foundation. I'm a nobody. I really am. May he increase and I decrease. May his will be done and not my will. May his plans, his thoughts, and his ways be done, because I know it's greater than my ways, my thoughts, and my plans. So, I'm a nobody. In the end, nobody will remember me. That's true. But people will remember Jesus. And that's what matters. That's what really matters. So, when God uses nobodies, he can be lifted high. But he also lifts us up. And he rewards us. And he gives us so, so good of treasures. And so, we praise God. Someone, Daniel, said, you're not a nobody. You're the best. I love you too. Yeah. Been busy. Been a busy, busy time. So, glory to God. It turns out, we praise God all the days of our life. So, in Jesus' name, you are somebody now. You are somebody. You are made whole. You're somebody that God loves. You're somebody that can find your identity in the Lord. Let God define who you are. You're worthy. You're cared for. You are loved. Loved so much that he poured out all that he is, all that he was. He poured out his divinity to save you, to give you grace, to give you peace, to give you hope. He laid his life down for you. And there's no greater love than this, but one to lay their life down for another. And that is what he did. He humbled himself to the biggest, the greatest way. He humbled himself down to the lowest, from being God, divine in heaven, to coming to earth as human, to being rejected ever since he was in his mother's womb, rejected by the innkeeper, rejected by people, rejected and almost stoned to death, and even rejected that they put him on a cross as a criminal, being whipped for you and me. This is our God. This is our Lord. By His grace, by His power, He raised again 3 days later, defeating all things, defeating everything. The death, the fear, He's greater. And that's why we worship Him. Amen. Third question. What are some surprising ways that God provided for all your needs? Wow. Well, you see, my story. I was isolated. I was broken. I was chasing gaming. I was just lost without direction. But by God's grace, He provided me with... When I started chasing after Him, He gave me a community. He gave me a full-time job. He gave me a wife, a loving wife. He gave me everything I need. And He gave me a baby boy. In June 20th, baby Pan's coming up. What should I call him? Elijah? Is Elijah a good name? Should I call him Isosa? Should I call him something? What should I call him? But these are all gifts from God. And so I give Him thanks for everything that I have, everything I need, everything I will have. I give all thanks to Him. Because without Him, I would have nothing. Without Him, I am nothing. He is all that I have, everything that I need. So I pray that He would be the same for you, that He would be your firm foundation, that He would be your provider, that He would lead you every step of the way, that you would lean on Him, allow Him to transform your life, that you would seek after Him, His word, His thoughts, His prayers, His ways. You would allow Him to transform you. Amen. Ha ha. Maybe John. That's pretty popular. And then last question. What lessons in humility is God teaching you? What lessons in humility is God teaching you? You see, I'm constantly, every day, trying to walk in God's ways. Constantly, every day. But then sometimes distractions do come aboard. Do come, creep up upon me. And it's really difficult. Sometimes you just gotta say, God, I need you. I'm powerless to my sins. I need you to deliver me. I need you, Lord God, to set me free so that I can walk in your ways and build my life upon your firm foundation, to be your child and to just embrace your promises and not to worry, not to be anxious, and to trust in you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Wow, beautiful. So, we've been here for an hour and 30 minutes. And of course, we love to encourage you to keep up your spiritual health, your walk with God, to walk in His ways, and also to build your life upon His firm foundation. I want to encourage you guys to continue strengthening yourself, keeping your body healthy, keeping your mind strong, keeping your spiritual life rooted in the Lord. I want to encourage you guys not to give up, to continue growing strong in Him, walking in His ways, because Jesus is the best relationship you can ever have. And so, what time is it? Time for pull-ups. You can count with me, see how many pull-ups I do. I've been strengthening my fingers, my hand lately, just like with a little thing. It's kind of, yeah. So, let's see how many I can do. I want to encourage you guys to stay strong. Stay strong in the Lord. Amen.
Stretching, no.
Yeah, let's go. Oh man, I'm dizzy. Just standing up. Drink a lot of water. Stay healthy, drink water. All right? How much was that? Oh. Stay strong. You have to stay strong. Strong in the last days, guys. Oh, he said 18. I only counted 17. Wow. Thank you. Thank you. Glory to God, for he is good. Welcome everyone. I'm so glad. Man. Whew. God is good. Yeah. And we give glory to God for the strength. Just like Elijah. I bet he was buff. He was strong. And so you continue walking in his ways. And continue building your life upon his firm foundation. May God bless you. Be with you. Continue walking with you. Glorifying him all the days of your life. Amen. And amen. God is with you. Wow. 17 people on YouTube right now. That's amazing. Because, you know, my TikTok is currently banned. Just for sharing the word of God. But it's banned until the 19th of May. This is not the first time. I'm used to it. I'm just like, but preaching the word of God, persecution, it happens. By God's grace, we're able to speak our mind, our heart, allow him to build us up and not give up. Amen. So I'm so glad that we're able to give him praise each and every day and glorify him and say, you are my Lord, my Savior, and I will not give up. No matter what, I will continue preaching the word of God. Amen. That's kind of why I started YouTube, because TikTok was kind of limiting, kind of biased, and evil. So here I am on TikTok, on YouTube, on Facebook, and we just give him all glory. Glory to God. Thank you. What was I doing? Let's see. For this, we had right now 1,573 people come by on our YouTube. Glory to God. And I thank you guys for watching. Thank you guys for joining. And thank you guys for throwing that thumbs up. And for supporting this live stream. For supporting God and saying Jesus forever. Because we're going to start this movement. Jesus forever. This movement is not for ourselves. This movement is to glorify our Lord, our God. Amen. You always support me. Thank you so much. Thank you for your support. I love it. Yeah. Yep. God is good. And may you be blessed. May you experience more and more and more of God. And may he be the center of your life. Amen. Amen. Ooh, let me end this live. Thank you. 14 people on. Wow. In the future, maybe there's going to be 50, maybe 100 people at one time. But this is so good to be able to glorify God all the days of our life. Amen.